3, 12, merde!
Two, one, drink.
Mm-hmm.
Coming to you live from Madison Square Garden, this is the Long and Late Movie Show, America's movie podcast. I am Russell Hainline. I'm still, like, swallowing my drink. And this is a special Power Hour episode. If you've been listening to us for a while, you know that we do these from time to time. And so we will start with my partner in crime, Mr. Leighton Gordon. Leighton, what are you drinking this evening?
I'm drinking a cerveza más fina, some Tecate here.
You drinking some Tecate?
Exactly. I think we need it for this episode.
Tecate? I hardly know it.
Yeah.
No!
We've also got the lovely and talented Miss Shira Selkovich. Shira, what are you drinking this evening?
I am drinking a wonderful Citra Mantra IPA by Otter Creek Brewing Company. 5.75% alcohols, baby.
Citra Mantra?
Yep.
Good. And I'm drinking some of the customary American beverage mimosa that I have left over from an Easter brunch.
Well, oh. That's a...
That's a what?
That's lovely.
Oh, okay. I lost
I don't know
Shira.
What Shira was going to say.
Yeah, I don't know. We lost Shira right at the punchline. Very, very upsetting. We have so much to talk about. And actually, this really sucks because we can't hear Shira, but she's the one who's supposed to be calling drinks.
I'm here.
Oh, there
I'm
she
here.
Is.
I'm here. Sorry, guys. I said drink. Can I tell Good. You a quick mimosa story?
Please.
So this is a shout out to my friend Scott Simons of Teammate Band, at Teammate Band on Instagram. If you're in LA, they perform there all the time. So check out Teammate Band. They're also on Spotify. Anyway, somebody asked him what was in a mimosa, and he said, mimosely orange juice.
He's not doing it right. It should be mostly champagne.
Well, it's normally when you get it served to you at like a bottomless brunch scenario and they skimp you on the champs.
See, that's
Shira as a veteran brunchess. She knows all the
Yeah, things. I know what goes down behind the bar.
Yeah, see, there was a place near where we used to live in Santa Monica, the Blue Daisy Cafe, and Emily and I went for bottomless mimosas once and we stayed there for like 5 hours. And they were not skimping, my friends, and I don't remember what happened at the end of that story.
Whoa!
I woke up and I was at home.
You woke up and you were engaged.
I woke up and I was engaged. That's how it happened. That's how it happened.
That's the story we're sticking with.
This is the story of a girl who drinks mimosas to drown the whole world.
We're going to do so many songs about white girl brunches on this episode, I feel like.
White girl it's brunches. It's going to be great. White girl brunches. The great thing about these power hours is the more I drink, the more I will want to sing. So Leighton and Shira will have to get on this.
Works for me.
So much show today. Guys, so much show.
So much show.
By the way, were we supposed to have drank again?
It's 8 seconds.
Damn it, I'm not keeping track. I need to like keep an eye on the call recorder so that I know so that I can try and time my sentences perfectly.
Drink.
Got it. So we're going to talk Batman v Superman Dawn of Justice today.
Dodge.
Or as it was in my calendar, Bull v Shit Dawn of Justice. Oh.
I like how they like kept the Dawn of Justice part.
Yes. Uh-huh. Yep. Dawn of Jizz.
Don't. Yeah, there you go. I was going to say, don't say Jewish people, Russell. Don't do it. Don't do that.
Not on Easter Sunday. Although,
don't
technically.
Don't
do me like that. Don't do me like that. Don't crucify me on this cross, all of you Jews.
Oh, my God.
I'm just like you. Sure.
You guys, we just started drinking, just FYI to the listeners. Oh, drink.
Who says we just started drinking?
No,
it's
I'm just
5
saying,
o'clock
like,
somewhere.
You know what? That always irritated me because it's not.
It's not 5 o'clock somewhere at all times?
No.
Are there not 24 time
I
windows?
Time
zones?
What if... there's not, it's not 5 o'clock somewhere if it's 3:30 here. Do you know what I'm saying?
Ooh, okay. I see what, but it's post 5 o'clock. I think you're taking the song too literally. Your hour just needs to have a five at the beginning of it.
I'm sorry. How are you supposed to take country music? With a grain of salt? That's serious shit.
With a just a grain beer to of pick up vodka. Sure.
Yeah. Oh, fine.
Yeah, just drink some more Magna Carta. What was it?
Yeah. Listen, I'll drink a Magna Carta. Don't put it past
from me. Your this Holy Grail?
This is a Citra Mantra, and drink.
All right, so let me hit the plot of Batman v Superman.
Oh, I want to hear this.
Please,
one.
I can't wait to hear this.
Okay. So, no, I really, okay, so much of this is going to be talking about the plot that I don't even want to spend much time on it. So, mostly, Batman sees that Superman destroyed Metropolis during his fight with General Zod and Man of Steel, and so now he's pissed. Lex Luthor wants to get a bunch of people mad at Superman, including Batman, even though Batman's already mad at Superman, so that something, so that he can kill Superman.
Is that even what he wants?
I guess. So he tries to frame Superman for a series of crimes, I guess. And this is in order to not only turn the public against him, I guess, but also Batman, I guess. And he also
drink.
He also creates a creature from the body of General Zod and his own blood somehow, for reasons that seems to, somebody tried to explain to me on Twitter and said it was a plan B.
Wait, what?
That's a pretty extreme plan B, and I also don't know why, if your aim is a dead Superman, why it's not plan A.
What was plan A?
Get Batman to kill Superman.
Oh, get Batman to kill Superman.
Or get Superman to kill Batman, because Batman needs to die too, I guess? For reasons that still are not clear. So anyway, what you're gathering, you, the listener, who has hopefully seen the movie by now or not, and
right,
just wants to listen. Ideally, what we'll try and avoid talking about the entire time
drink.
Is the plot. Because this is, and you guys can tell me if you agree, I've never seen a more confusing movie, maybe ever.
What about that movie with Colin Farrell where he's like, the movie from last year, was it last year or
Winter's
2 years
Tale?
Ago? Yes,
no.
Winter's Tale.
Winter's Tale has clear character motivations, and scenes are more or less ordered so that one scene clearly, like, the information follows the scene that came before it. You know what I mean?
All right, like, so that would be clearer.
It has
right.
narrative coherence. You know? Like, that was the big thing. Somebody tried to, usually whenever anybody doesn't like what I have to say about a movie, the first thing that the trolls say are, yeah, well, fuck do you know? You liked Jupiter Ascending.
Well, which is a fantastic movie. Oh, drink,
right.
by the way.
So,
it is a legitimate thing, Russ.
No, but like, here's the thing.
It is legitimately bad that you like.
No, but here's the thing, right? So even if you think the characters are awful and the script is awful and the world is awful and the effects are awful and the action is awful, all these things. Let's say you think all of those things about Jupiter Ascending, which you might. At bare minimum, you understood in Jupiter Ascending why the characters did what they were doing. Even
okay.
if you thought it was stupid, you understood why.
Yes.
100% true.
And the scenes were sequentially ordered so that plot lines advanced and those character motivations were clear. I can't think of a movie where it was more confusing to watch. Like, I honestly felt like an old man who wanted to, like, turn to somebody next to me and go, like, what's happening? What did they do? You know what I mean? Is that, I mean, that was my central complaint. My complaint wasn't
drink.
My complaint was not that it was dark or that it was DC. I have no real problems with the actors, you know, whatever. I just found it to be a baffling experience. And it also had a really terrible ending because I thought all that Doomsday shit was garbage. So, I want to pass the mic to Shira.
Sure.
Shira, what did you think of BVS:DOJ?
Yeah, I mean, emphasis on the colon because I thought it was shit.
Colon burn.
Yeah, I mean, let's get even further past the complete lack of plot cohesion, which I completely agree with, by the way.
Let's get down to business.
Let's get to interpret tax.
The plot.
Oh my God, is this a musical review? I love it.
Review, R-E-V-U-E?
Boom. Yeah, U-E, exactly. Oh, and drink. So, I also kind of found this movie to be real sexist. I mean, I don't know about anybody else. But essentially, like, the women don't exist unless they're talking about men. And, like, notably the men who are the superheroes. And, like, they're always naked when the men are always dressed. And I just thought all of that was gross, number one. Even though, look, I'm not mad at seeing a naked Amy Adams or a naked Gal Gadot. Not ever.
All they posted on Reddit, I saw posted on Reddit 100 times, that bath dough.
Yeah, I mean, seriously, like, her boobs swayed in the water beautifully, but, like, what was the point of it?
But she didn't have nipples, which I thought was strange.
Well, it was like a milky bath,
be honest. We were looking. You know what I mean? We were on a nipple hunt.
Drink. Yeah, agreed.
Like, it's impossible not to. If it was a dude in the bath, I'd be on a dong hunt. You know, if there's a naked...
Of course you would,
If there's a naked celebrity part that's about to be exposed, you're gonna be, like, looking at it. Because they're not people. So...
Exactly. So you agree.
So,
okay, perfect.
So we were sitting there, and it looked like we were seeing the part of her where the nipple was supposed to be, but it was, like, CGI'd out.
It was fully, like, blurred. Like,
it was like Doomsday's dong.
This movie could have been subtitled Doomsday's dong. But, yeah.
And, you know, I don't know why Doomsday didn't have a dong if Dr. Manhattan had one in what's his name?
In The Watchmen.
Doomsday's dong.
I love The Watchmen, for the record. Anyway, so I really found this movie to be absolutely terrible. I mean, people are really giving it credit in a lot of ways and saying that there are a lot... Drink. And saying that there are, like, redeeming qualities of this movie. First of all...
Who is saying this?
Many people are. Many people on Twitter.
I have some redeeming things to say about it.
Yeah, I mean, I just can't think of one thing that I enjoyed. Even the quote-unquote reveal of Wonder Woman was, like, so... Like, it was like getting sixth party information from, like, a photograph that, like, and Russell, I think you tweeted something about it or retweeted something about it, about how the reveal of Wonder Woman was like a photo, like a stolen photo of something. Like, why did it have to be like this weird shrouded secret ninth person?
She said Lex Luthor stole a photo of hers.
Right.
Right? The reveal was that? This wasn't a photo of yours, dot, dot, dot. It's a photo of you.
Drink.
And he put it in, like, all caps.
And by the way, was that Chris Pine standing to the left of her in that photo? Okay.
It was.
Look
at this photograph!
Yeah, he's like, makes me laugh.
Yeah.
And the JPEG on Landis's computer. Oh, I said Landis. It is a Max Landis impression, though. It's totally Max Landis. Well, go and watch, like, YouTube videos of Max Landis. I've met Max Landis, and he was very polite to me. But this is unquestionably Jesse Eisenberg, who was in Max Landis's American Ultra, just doing a flat-out... I mean, even the suits that he's wearing are Max Landis suits. Like, there's no way around it. Like,
which brings me to
it's unbelievable.
Yeah, which brings me to the fact that I hated Jesse Eisenberg in this movie too. I don't know what this, like, insane Lex Luthor character was that he was playing. Like, I have no idea what he was doing, but I didn't like it at all.
You're not drinking the grandma's peach tea?
I mean, that was so dumb. Drink.
Oh, I did. I thought it was time already.
That's fine. Keep doing it.
So, I wanted to drink just after I said grandma's peach tea. Sip.
I'm going to have to.
It was a zinger. It did deserve a drink.
Shear's peach tea is going to come out in a minute. I'll tell you that much. I'm already two beers in. Anyway, I don't have a lot of good things to say about this other than I think that Gal Gadot will make a great Wonder Woman, and I'm really hoping that they make a good movie for her because I think she's a great actress, and I feel like she's got a presence that I thought was pretty powerful and like would have given if the movie had given her a chance to showcase it, I'm sure we would have seen it. Anyway, I really don't have anything good to say about this movie. I mean, other than the fact that like
Gal Gadot
had Gal Gadot, and then like I would still let Ben Affleck or Henry Cavill both like bang me. Other than that, I have nothing good to say.
Gal Gadot, Gal Gadot. The movie should have given her more.
I agree.
Leighton, you said you have redeeming qualities. Let's get this into the positive.
I think it looks good. I think it for the most for many scenes it looks good. I didn't mind the way the movie looked.
Okay, I didn't mind the way the movie. How many movies do you mind the way the movie looks?
Yeah,
you know,
I thought it
looked nice and crisp. You know, I saw it in regular D, in a regular theater, no 3D or anything like that. And yeah, I was impressed with some of the visuals.
Doomsday didn't have a regular D.
I mean, but in general, there are a whole bunch of holes, you know, problems with the movie. I think the movie is both too long and too short at the same time, and I think it's because they're trying. They're trying to cram a whole bunch of setup movies into one movie to get to Justice League really quickly. Kind of like what, and I was talking to my brother. I said it's kind of like what they did with the Amazing Spider-Man 2. Where they, you know, they're already trying to set up the, you know, the Rogues Gallery, you know, or the get the band together, you know, to set things up, and it wasn't earned. They should have been having two or three movies before they get to the big party movie. I mean, you know, you guys talked about the story and how it's confusing. Totally okay with that. You know, there's I'm not okay with it. But you guys talked about it, so I didn't want to go into that any further. But you know, the scene that really kind of bothered me most in general, and I know it's a small thing, was I still don't understand why Lex Luthor has like a loyal assistant woman who I assume is there just to placate the Chinese audience.
Mercy, you know, Graves.
Yeah,
she's stunning.
She was stunning, and I said, yeah, she's stunning. He just kills her, and I'm just like, wait, something's going on here. This scene can't be. I still don't understand that entire court. I think the courthouse scene is probably the most baffling scene to me in the entire movie. One, because it was not needed, because he's already gotten the kryptonite into the U.S., so he doesn't need the senator's approval. He knows he's not going to kill Superman.
Yeah, that's right. It's time to drink.
Why would anyone blame Superman for a terrorist blowing up a building? Why wouldn't they blame the terrorist? And then why would he kill his assistant? It still bugs me. I'm like, what? She could still be in the movie. It just baffled me. And I felt it was just wrong for them to do that. And it actually just made me start to dislike the movie a lot, because I just felt that it was so just unnecessary, and I feel like a lot of this movie was just unnecessary. Characters making bad choices, Batman's changing loyalty off flimsy reasons. Our moms had the same name. What is that?
Oh my god, dude! So many great memes around that shit this week.
It was.
Why did you say that name?
It's so baffling to me. The setups of all the metahumans just a file folder. Storyline was a mess. A lot of people seem to be saying, "Oh, just turn your brain off and enjoy it."
You guys are friends with some wonky people. I don't have anybody on my Facebook feed saying that. I see a lot of people going like,
"I'm talking about Twitter." Yeah,
my brother.
And Instagram.
My brother likes this movie.
What does likes it mean? Wants to see it again?
No, he thought it was a good movie. He enjoyed the story and he enjoyed the fights. And I was like, he did agree with me about the mercy stuff, but he was just like, no, I just kind of liked it.
I don't even enjoy the fights.
Yeah, I agree. I didn't enjoy the fights. I thought the monster was so annoying too, like an unkillable monster. I feel like this movie can't be killed.
It's worse. It's as bad as the Incredible Hulk one, Abomination, from a few years ago. It's like the same exact kind of ugly, monstery villain that that nobody likes to see.
I would rather look at the orcs than that.
Yeah, it was a knockoff orc. I called it the Scorpion King.
It was the Orcian King.
That's right. Yeah, man. Okay, so I'll start with good things. Okay. No, I'm not trying to be funny. I'm actually thinking of good things. Lawrence Fishburne. Jeremy Irons. Let's start with Jeremy Irons.
Yes.
He's good. He's really good.
He's great.
I like that they made him into a nagging grandpa, which I like.
I fully missed him. He was very funny. Not
going to see any kids any day soon.
Yeah, he was very funny. I really liked
Lawrence Fishburne also giving some nice relief, although, as Devin Faraci pointed out in his review, there's that scene where he comes in and he's like, "Where is Kent?" And then you just see Kent 30 minutes later, and there's no explanation for why this scene was in the movie.
Oh, you know what else? Oh, no, this is a negative. Never mind.
No, but I'd sort of strayed into negative town already. I mean, I guess some of the music was okay and interesting.
I mean, how about the fact that, from Dark Knight to this movie, it was, a shot-for-shot fucking remake of Batman's parents dying?
Yeah, except then he started to fly at the end, which was interesting. His father swung first,
which is bad.
The flying at the end is interesting.
And I mean, yeah.
Yeah, we don't need to see it anymore. I was okay with making Lex Luthor a sort of millennial, obnoxious, self-entitled, whatever. I was okay with that choice. And there were a couple of scenes at the beginning where I was genuinely intrigued. Honestly, that scene where he first mentions the grandma's peach tea, where he's talking to the senator. I guess she mentions it, Holly Hunter. And they're talking back and forth. That's a legitimate good scene to me. Because it's two characters, both of whom are interesting, both of whom seem to want the same thing at that point, right? Because the senator also doesn't like Superman and wants to charge Superman. So it seems like Lex Luthor and the senator should be on the same page, but then she doesn't want the kryptonite in, but he gets the kryptonite in anyway, and then he decides to kill this woman even though he already got the kryptonite into the country, just cause, I guess?
It was Lex Luthor's character was a Joker character.
It was totally a Joker. And I was upset by that. I think they could have made that same character smart and diabolical and
I thought they wanted him to be more Zuckerberg. I didn't understand what was going on.
I feel like they needed to make him that's the perfect word, diabolical, a calm, crazy nemesis.
Like that first scene with Holly Hunter where he mentions the grandma's peach tea and the painting and stuff. I was sitting there going okay, I might actually be on board for this is good writing too. It's interesting, right? But it's just scene to scene it changes.
I agree.
All of it changes from scene
to
scene.
It's like watching someone it's like watching Brad Pitt lose his accent in Troy.
Nice. yeah, so oh man. I can't think of anything else I liked. I mean, I guess there was some interesting music. Maybe.
How do you feel about Gal Gadot? Forget about the fact that they gave her nothing to do except for wear.
Gal Gadot, yo. So what? 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 So what R.I.P. Fife.
R.I.P. Yep, Fife.
Absolutely.
Like, I mean, do you think that she will be... Like,
there's nothing in the movie to indicate how good she'll be or not. There is nothing in the movie. Like, there is the one part where she's punched and she smiles. That's the best part of the movie, is when she gets punched and she gets knocked really far, and then she smiles and runs back into battle. That smile had more personality than, like, anything in the movie.
I think her lasso was fucking cool.
But why wasn't she the one killing Doomsday? It's pointless.
No, I mean, I agree. I'm just, listen, I'm grasping at anything here.
You're grasping with a lasso.
I also saw this in 3D, so I paid for this shit. Like, I didn't movie pass this.
That's not
okay,
good.
So I'm irritated. Drink.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what to think.
I think presence-wise, I think she has a presence. I mean, she even had a presence when she was in Date Night with Tina Fey and Marky Mark.
Sure, she's got a presence. I mean, like, what does that even mean, though? She's an actress who is on the marquee, like, in movies. So, of course, she's going to have a presence. Is she right for the part? And I don't know that because they gave her nothing to do. She goes and steals a hard drive, and then she checks her email and watches some QuickTime videos for 10 minutes in the middle of the movie, right when Batman and Superman are about to fight. And people say to me, like, haha, that's funny. And I'm like, no, you don't understand.
They're facing off
with each other, and they're literally about to fight. And then they cut away for 10 minutes so Wonder Woman can check her email and watch YouTube videos.
I don't understand that because, like, I would think by now people learned the golden rule of movies. You'd never show people watching...
Forget watching
movies on a computer or typing into a computer.
Forget
that. No one wants to do that.
Right, forget that. Let's assume that is right 100% of the time. Or I take it back. Let's assume you're wrong and computer typing is interesting 100% of the time. Okay?
Okay.
Let's assume that. You still don't cut off the titular fight of the movie literally right as it's about to happen to have a 10-minute scene of someone watching videos.
It's like cutting away from the main event of a boxing match to talk, like, to show old boxing tape on, like, a monitor.
That would still be better than this. I don't know, it's a baffling choice from a narrative perspective, and everybody's talking about it. Like, why did they do that? It makes no sense. No sense whatsoever. So I don't really know who to blame. You know, the writing isn't great. You obviously have to blame Snyder, because he's the guy in charge of all of this vision and whatever. But you also have to continue to blame WB to some extent, because they gave all this power to somebody, and nobody at WB said at any point, hey, these scenes don't go together at all. What the fuck are you doing?
What's the problem here? Like, did they rush to get this movie out? Like, I don't understand why they would put this product on the market.
The problem is, and this is where people are going to get really mad at me.
And that's a real question.
I'm not trying to make this a Marvel versus DC thing, but the reason why they did this is inherently tied to Marvel. Marvel is ahead. They are winning, right? They've got all their solo movies. The new solo movies keep becoming hits. They bring all the solo people into the big movies. The big movies are massive hits. Age of Ultron, even though it wasn't as big as Avengers, still a gigantic hit, right?
Still a hit.
Civil War is going to smoke Batman v Superman at the box office, right? Everybody is going to go and see this shit.
Again, another argument I've had with my brother. My brother was like, no, Batman and Superman is going to be bigger than Civil War. And I was like, no.
There's no way. That's crazy.
Civil War looks unreal.
You know what? Maybe if this movie had been good. But the problem is, DC is trying to do it backwards. Marvel made their, like, several solo movies, one at a time, and then made the group movie. So they earned all this goodwill. We got to know all the characters, and then we gathered them all together. We don't get that here. So we've got a bunch of characters we don't know anything about. Gal Gadot and then all the QuickTime video specialists, right? So we've got Ben Affleck, Batman. All we have with Ben Affleck...
Flashback?
Yeah, fuck that shit. I don't even fucking care about that. The Ben Affleck Batman, who all we get is the same Bats Cave, gunshot outside the movie theater shit that we literally always get. so we don't get nearly enough of Ben Affleck's stuff, and his motivations are not clear, and he's not smart, because he gets fooled by Lex Luthor just jotting some words in all caps on some checks that were supposed to go to somebody else, and the world's greatest detective can't call Scoot McNairy and go, hey, did you write this crazy shit? You know what I mean? Like, it's preposterous. So anyway, I'm getting worked up about it. What was I even saying? So they're working backwards, and that's why it's not.
They're hustling backwards, you would say.
Yes. That's why it's not.
But that's actually a really good point that I didn't even think about, is the fact that there's buildup on the Marvel movies. Like you said, we got introduced to everybody, and then we had a party. It's like, this is like their party first, and then you're supposed to meet everyone later. It's weird. And I hate to socialize. So I should not use that analogy.
You
want
to go to a party with your friends, not a party with a bunch of strangers.
Exactly.
And that's what's going on here. And it's not even that, because at least at a party, if I meet somebody, they're going to be the same person if I talk to them again 20 minutes later.
Okay. How about this, guys? How about this? This is another thing I didn't like. You know, there is no sense of fun in this movie. There's no smiles in this movie.
Okay, so they try to do it later. And this is the same problem I had with Man of Steel, right? Man of Steel at the end of the movie all of a sudden starts trying to drop in the comic book zingers, right? So then they're fighting Doomsday, Wonder Woman shows up, and Batman turns to Superman and goes, "Is she with you?" And Superman goes, "I thought she was with you." And it's the most cringeworthy shit imaginable. Because they've spent 2.5 hours at this point trying to be deathly serious, and now they're trying to do the jokey comic book one-liner shit. You can't have your cake and eat it too. You just can't. So they're trying to make it fun, but they're just failing miserably, A, because of the shitty writing, and B, because they spent the first 2 hours, you know, with the grimness of Showa, you know, trying to fucking lull us into a sense of grim seriousness. It just doesn't work that way.
Well, that's another reason why Marvel's winning, right? I mean, like, sure. Marvel's tone and the fun, as Leighton says, is consistent throughout every single movie, every individual movie, every group movie.
Right. But everybody said back in the day, can you guys hear me? Oh, wait, now I'm back. Can
drink,
you hear me?
Drink.
Yes, I can.
Good.
Yeah.
All right.
But also drink, yeah.
So, what was I about to say? Something about the tone. Oh, so...
about the tone, yeah.
So when Nolan's Batmans were happening, right, everyone was like, dark comic book movies is the wave of the future. And Marvel tried to get a little bit darker. I mean, Thor 2 was called The Dark World, but they still wanted to keep their tone. They wanted to keep it the way that they were going to do it. So DC kind of doubled down, because even though those Batman movies by Chris Nolan are dark, they're still pretty fun. And I say this as somebody who like thinks they're like pretty good at best, but they're still pretty fun. They got the one-liners, they got the goofy bad guys who, you know, crack wise a lot, you know, they got the one-liners. I don't know what to say about this. It's a mess. It's just a total mess.
I'm reading here that they fell off Friday to Sunday like 48%. That's a huge.
I think they fell Saturday to Sunday that much. Then Friday to Sunday it was like 55%.
Yes, and so that's a record for audience drop.
Yarp. Yeah, because people talk to one another.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean seriously, like newsflash. Also drink.
Flash. Oh!
So can I do the Facebook question now, since it was about Batman?
Should we do our kernel ratings first?
Oh, yeah, we should def do that.
Shira?
Yeah, I mean, I don't really know how I can do anything more than, like, one kernel here. And I feel like that's even maybe being too generous, because I really just hated it. So maybe I have to give it a half kernel.
Leighton?
I'll give it a one kernel for, it looks good. It looks good.
Yeah, I'll give it one, but...
One's fine.
But it's baffling. I will say the good thing about it is, it is, for me anyway, it was interesting for all 2.5 hours. Now, maybe it was interesting because I was sitting there trying to figure out what the hell was going on. No, it wasn't even that. I was just a confused old man trying to solve the riddle of how this movie ended up this way. And so in that regard, it is interesting. It's not boring. When the character is changing energy and motivation every 5 minutes, it does keep you as an audience member on your toes.
Yeah, I mean, like, I was just logging questions in my mind, and I would say that that is something that it was, it is interesting in that way, and that it had you asking a lot of questions. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, is this all in Zack Snyder? What about the executives at WB?
That's that's what I said earlier.
You gotta put a lot of it on WB.
I think it's because, the way that WB operates is that they don't have comic book people.
But they do.
No, they don't.
They got that dude, Jeff Johns. I don't think Jeff Johns would allow this.
He is, but he must not have had. He must not have looked this over because I know Marvel has comic books. He couldn't have looked this over and said that this was okay.
Drink.
Well, he could have, and then just not have had a strong enough voice because,
But hold on a second. This movie still made a fucking $168 million opening weekend.
I'll count that cheer up because what'll happen is the next movie now.
They'll get nothing.
People are gonna wait and say, you know what? Let me just wait until the reviews come out to see if it's any good. And that's bad. People are not gonna want to automatically see it no matter what the reviews.
I completely agree with you.
Yeah.
And here's the other thing, right? This joint needs to do $1 billion worldwide, and that's minimum. Minimum, right? That's the expectation level. It's Batman v Superman. It's got to do $1 billion, right?
Yeah.
So I am expecting, and maybe this is me getting a little wild here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm expecting a clean 70% drop.
And then between this weekend and next weekend?
Absolutely. So yeah, then next weekend it makes like right around 50. So then they're sitting a domestic at like 215, 216, drops again another 50% the weekend after. They're looking at most 300 domestic, maybe like 325 if they really crawl it out there. But they're going to be
Which puts it at like 6 globally, right?
I bet it would put it at more just because I bet the Asian markets are really big for this.
Yeah, that's true.
But even still, I bet they were banking on a bare minimum of $400 million domestic, right?
And they're not going to get close.
I mean, obviously it depends on whether they have this huge drop. If it's more like a 60% drop, then maybe they can crawl their way to
Drink.
It.
The other problem.
Uh-oh, I lost Shiyu Shira. Shira, come back. You can blame it
on me.
Shira, yes, I heard you. I heard you. That was my B.
So, I think the other problem is there's nothing coming out next weekend. Like, nothing.
Yeah, and while that is true, we've seen before that that doesn't necessitate that people will necessarily go to the movies.
No, I agree. I mean, I'm sure people will still go out. Hopefully they'll go out for the next movie that we're going to talk about, which opens, I think, wide April 1st. But, I agree. I think not that it's going to push people out of the house, Drink. But it does kind of mean better things for this movie, I think, than if there were something else big coming out. Like if the Melissa McCarthy movie were coming out this weekend instead of the 8th of April,
Right. Yeah, that may be the case. But at the same time, I mean, it has to beat Deadpool. It's got to beat Deadpool. Yeah. Deadpool's at 350 domestic already. I think it'll pass Deadpool worldwide. I think that sort of goes without saying.
Of course. And Deadpool's been out how many weeks now?
It is already the number one movie of all time.
Oh shit! Wow. Okay.
Domestic too? I thought Passion was still ahead of it. Domestic.
Hold on. I'll check and see if it's domestic or worldwide. But I'll get back.
Yeah.
Passion's at 370. Deadpool's at 349 and made like 4 million this last weekend. So that may be a struggle to get there.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. It will pass American Sniper this weekend, though. So it'll be number two.
It'll be number two. Drink.
Speaking of number two, Batman v Superman, one kernel.
Yeah, one fucking kernel, guys. One kernel.
Oh, so your Facebook question, Shira.
So I only got three responses, but to be fair, I asked it kind of late. I will long make a late. Better effort.
Boom.
I did it a little long and late. I will be better about the Facebook question. I have been terrible about it lately, but thank you to three of our faves that gave us a reply. So I said, hi, everyone. It's Power Hour time tonight for this week's episode. I hope that enticed everybody to listen. How many kernels out of four do you give Batman v Superman? Dodge. Antonio TJ Ponder gives it two kernels out of four. A lot of good stuff in there, but it was very jumbled. Pat Thompson, Metal Dude 29, a.k.a. Pat Nucky Thompson, says, I'll also say two kernels. The big fight between Supes and Bats was underwhelming. Drink. Damn it. Didn't like Eisenberg's portrayal of Lex Luthor. Affleck was fine, and I enjoyed Godot's Wonder Woman. And Ryan Mudd also says, two, it's the first piece of a puzzle in which the pieces are given in installments. So this is kind of what I mean. Like, people are saying that there's some good stuff in there. I didn't see it. I mean, I respect everyone's opinion.
No.
I just, like, didn't see it.
They wanted it to be there. That's the thing.
Maybe.
They wanted it. Because I can't see... Because I'm a huge Batman guy. Like, that's part of why, like, I get frustrated sometimes at some of the other movies. Because I don't feel like there's a... And maybe it's just the casting, or maybe it's the fact that I didn't think Christopher Nolan was very good at action. You know, that sort of thing. I feel like you could still get a better movie. I was watching, like, Batman Returns the other day, and there's, like, a lot of really good stuff in there. You know what I mean? There's a lot of really good stuff in the Nolans, but it's never, like, gotten together. But I just... And Affleck might be the guy. He might totally be the guy who brings it home, right? But...
Yeah, but Batman needs to... Like, Christian Bale was at least funny.
Affleck can be funny. I totally believe that Affleck could be
funny. But he wasn't.
Funny. Right, because this movie sucked. And it's not even that he needs to be funny. He just needs to be charismatic. I didn't think the, like, hey,
charismatic,
I'm drunk.
Yeah.
I'm drunk in the... God damn it. There are so many things that I want to talk about because they're all terrible, but I really don't want to get into it. We could be talking all night about all
we
of the things
we could literally do, like, 4 hours about just this movie.
About just this movie. Let me say one thing. So I'm going to throw this out there and tell me what you guys think. So somebody asked me, okay, if I was going to make the movie better based on, like, what's already there, let's assume the script is word for word what we saw on the screen in that order, right? Let's assume that. It's not the case, but let's assume it, right? What I was asked, what would you do to fix it? And here is what I said. Tell me what you think. First of all, I literally cut everything involving Doomsday. I cut it all.
Drink.
I've already made some people mad by saying that because they like all of the punching, but Zack Snyder is not a very good action director and they're literally all punching. So I'd cut Doomsday. I'd cut Wonder Woman entirely. I'd cut the whole Justice League stuff entirely. I'd put it as a post-credits tag, or I'd put it at the very end instead of the super dumb ending that they have. I would lose the death of Superman. There's no reason to have it because we know he's going to be back. It's pointless. And it gave us the same ending as League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
Come on. That's not even fair.
It's true, though. It's 100% true. Go back and watch
it. It's kind of true, yeah.
We zoom in on a grave, and the dirt on the top of the grave in League of Extraordinary Gentlemen starts to move right before the blackout.
It rumbles.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's exactly the same ending. So, I would also... Here's what I would do. I would expand the Batman-Superman thing. I would not make Lex Luthor try to manipulate Batman. I would show Lex Luthor trying to buy the kryptonite. you know, trying to showcasing that he's afraid, but more or less just setting him up as like a central figure. I would lose all of the stuff in which he's trying to frame Superman to the public, because again, it has no payoff at the end of the movie, and Batman has enough motivation to want to fight Superman as it is. So I'd make it just Batman and Superman building those characters up. I would keep the Senator. I like that. I like the Luthor like conflict with the Senator. I like all of that stuff. You know, but you keep that up mostly to establish that Luthor is an important figure in this world. But the majority of it is Batman doesn't trust that Superman will do the right thing. Superman is afraid that he's not doing the right thing. They fight at the end. That fight scene goes on a lot longer. And we make it a point to not end with them realizing their moms have the same names.
Drink.
Because I tell you what, if my mom had been kidnapped and someone was about to kill me, I wouldn't go, they're going to kill Melody. You know what I mean? I'd say they're going to kill my mom.
Your mom's name
How
is Melody?
How do you
Melody?
Know that name?
My mom's name is Melody. Right.
Oh my God, that's like so beautiful and perfect for you because you're a little singer.
Melody Hanlon. Yes, a wonderful name for a wonderful
God.
Woman. So, but yeah, I mean, so you, I wouldn't strain on the ending of that thing. So yeah, it'd be all Batman-Superman conflict, end with the Batman-Superman fight. I don't know what you want to do at the end of that, but have them essentially shake hands. Or if they want to get rid of Superman, because clearly they wanted to get rid of Superman so that Batman can set up the Justice League, fine. Have him leave the planet for whatever reason. You know, in search of Brainiac or something. I don't know. Who cares, right? But don't kill him because we know he's coming back. It's pointless. And it's pointless to spend 20 minutes on an epilogue where we know he'll be back the next movie.
Drink.
So that's my pitch. Lose all of that shit.
Here's what I think.
You're going to have an hour 30 movie that is
tight. Which is phenomenal.
And is all character driven. It might not have as much CGI action stuff as people want, but there's still an okay amount there, and we'd care about the characters.
Here's what I agree with. I agree with cutting the Doomsday shit. I think the thing I'm most excited about that you said was to get rid of the Wonder Woman shit and the Justice League setup and put it at post-credit, like they did with like Thanos at the end of Avengers, right?
Yeah, just have Batman check. You know, that scene where Batman double-clicks the videos and watches the Wonder Woman at the ATM. Which, by the way, in a 2.5-hour movie, I'm so glad, like as Lex G said, I'm glad they worked in a couple of minutes to show some ATM footage of Gal Gadot. You know what I mean? This is ridiculous.
It's hide under the universe.
Hey,
we
all use the ATM. Come on.
Drink.
What bank is she connected to? What's her social security number?
No, dude, the fact that Wonder Woman has a PIN code makes me upset. Like that makes me upset.
Anyway, you were saying, Shira, I'm sorry I cut you off.
No, so yeah, so I was saying I agree with the Doomsday thing. I def agree with the post-credit thing. That I think will be amazing. I mean, anything that makes this movie an hour less, like a 1 hour 30 minute just Batman v Superman like conflict that ends in them agreed with the no killing Superman thing. So stupid. What's the point? We know, like you said, it's coming back. Just set up a sequel. Like the audiences are not stupid anymore. Like, and maybe they never were, but we don't need that kind
they
of like
all voting
suspense.
For Trump.
Okay, valid point. But most of us don't need that kind of suspense setup when we know what's really happening. Drink. You know what I mean? Like, right. I agree with that. Leighton, anything you disagree with that he said? Other than
no.
The same ending as League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, which he's right about.
No. As I said, I think the movie is both too long and too short. It's too long because they're trying
There's
to set
too many stories.
The long and short movie show.
In there, and it's too short in that they never really explain any one movie that much. And by the way, that
Good
Amy Adams stuff
reference.
Is trash.
What?
All the
what?
Amy Adams stuff. All the Amy Adams stuff was trash. They should have cut all
of it. Oh, my God.
They could have cut
Lois
Lane entirely.
It was – the whole Lois Lane storyline was like – I mean, again, I found that to be the most sexist thing in the movie, even though the Wonder Woman shit was sexist too. I was reading an article that reviewed the movie that was specifically regarding sexism that said it's crazy that that Wonder Woman stole this hard drive, but still, even though she's fucking Wonder Woman – needed Batman to decrypt it for her.
He's a genius, though.
So ridiculous. I mean, special computer.
He's not genius enough to know that fucking Lex Luthor was scribbling, "I will haunt you" on some checks.
Drink. Oh my god. Yes, that's the other thing. Hold on, wait. When was it Lex G that said, so Batman was writing, or Bruce Wayne was writing Scoot McNary checks, but he was sending them back with graffiti?
Yeah. That was amazing. Dude, I left the theater and I was not sure. So Twitter people had to tell me it was Lex sending the checks, which I think I did pick up.
Oh, no, I did not know that.
So apparently Lex Luthor somehow knew that Bruce Wayne and Wally, like, had that moment on 9/11, right? Like, somehow they had that moment together. He knew this, and he knew that Batman was sending Wally checks, so he was somehow intercepting them, writing scribble, "I will haunt you" on it, sending them back to Bruce Wayne, and Bruce Wayne never checked in on this to see whether it was Wally who was sending them back.
Hmm. Here's the thing, though. I think that the reason why he knew that maybe there, well, the only way he could have known there was any relationship is because, like, when Bruce Wayne saved Wally, that was publicized. That was on the news. They, like, showed a clip of that.
They showed Bruce Wayne saving Wally on the news? I thought they showed it. I thought they said later, when Wally was a pawn of Luthor's already, that he's now, like, with the senator and he's upset because he's the guy.
No.
I don't fucking know. I don't remember any of this.
This movie is garbage! We can't do this anymore. We cannot do this anymore. We just can't. I can't.
The
drunk, you know what,
I'm
going to say this.
The angrier
I
get,
I'm getting straight belligerent
right now.
First of all, I'm drunk. Second of all, I think I found the positive of this movie. And drink for false. Pause for effect. Pause for effect.
God, I'm so mad.
The positive of this movie is that it literally has already given us an hour of shit to talk about together. And really, that's a gift for the listeners, if
guys,
we're being honest.
Is it?
I'm gonna be out of beer before this episode is done.
I'm already through all of your almost ticket? Four in.
All
it's
right,
gonna
well,
be
let's,
fine, Leighton. It's
talk
gonna be
midnight
fine.
Special, Shira.
Okay. I'll step off for a bit while you do
well,
that.
Well, you have I'm to still gonna... be drinking every minute, Leighton, so keep an eye on the clock.
Okay,
yeah,
wait, okay.
Leighton.
The next time we have to drink, I'll step off.
We'll keep this fast. Tell you what, Leighton, we could do a no spoilers version. You want to do a no spoilers version? I could totally do that.
There's 10 seconds left.
Hold on. I'm gonna do a no spoilers.
I'm gonna do a flat no spoilers. So if you want to stay on, that's
and
totally fine.
And drink.
Okay, you can do the no spoilers, but I'll also hop off and take a leak.
Okay, we'll hop off and take a leak.
Okay, fine.
Okay, so no spoilers version. We begin
this
Midnight Special.
This is
by Jeff Nichols, the same guy who did Take Shelter and Mud and Shotgun Stories. He's a superb filmmaker. We open the movie and we find out that Michael Shannon and Joel Edgerton have taken this boy who has some sort of power. We don't really know what it is. We can tell there's power. We can tell he doesn't want to be in the sun. You know, we know that there's something wrong with him. There's an Amber Alert out for their arrest. Meanwhile, there is a cult where the boy clearly came from, where he was viewed as a messianic figure. Where everybody, like, worshipped what he said. They recited what he said. And they're seen as a cult. But their figurehead, right, this boy, is gone, has been kidnapped. And Michael Shannon was clearly at one point a member of this cult. Kirsten Dunst is his wife.
Drink.
So basically they go on the run because a day is coming up that the cult people are more or less calling the Day of Reckoning or whatever. But even they seem to not really know what this day means. So it's all about these guys just trying to stay on the loose and keep the kid in their possession until the day that whatever is going to happen will happen. Okay?
Right.
That's the plot. Shira, did you enjoy this movie as much as I did?
Yes, I absolutely did. I mean, I was completely enthralled and in awe from the second it started, when the beginning credits start and all you're hearing is like a newscast or a news broadcast in the background. I was riveted from like the first second. I was riveted by every single actor in this movie and their performances, and the fact that this narrative was so beautiful and so beautifully woven together. I mean, there's so many questions that it leaves you with, but for some reason you're okay with it. And I'm normally a person who does like to have things answered. A drink. Not that I always need like a full origin story, but this movie doesn't give you any of that. And if that makes you feel unsettled, then you may not enjoy it as much as I did. But ultimately, the performances are incredible. You know, I don't know about your theater, Russell, but every single time Adam Driver came on the scene, people started like chuckling or laughing to themselves. And these are like people who came out to see a movie that's open in literally people, four theaters. Four theaters in the country. People who people love Adam.
Who love Adam Driver. All the luckiest people
in the theater. World, yeah. Drink.
Oh, God.
I really found this movie to be so different, so interesting. And honestly, I think the dichotomy of this movie and Batman v Superman being out the same weekend is, it's like,
this was out the weekend before.
You're right. Well, I guess I should say it being out in four theaters or whatever. Just the fact that they're out at the same time, like, why did we just spend over an hour talking about Batman when we could spend just as much time talking about this movie, or maybe even more, just in talking about how excited we are that this movie even exists?
Well, so it's the same reason why, like, basketball fans can't spend a lot of time talking about Steph Curry in depth, because you're just going to sit there and go,
he's great.
Well, he's really fucking good.
He's really fucking good. Right, exactly.
He shoots better than anyone I've ever seen. Explain it. Right. And so, yeah, this movie is, you know, I've seen Steven Spielberg's name thrown around. I know he consulted with Spielberg. John Carpenter, you know, that name too. We're talking about greats. Yeah, we're talking about straight up greats. This is the best movie I've seen so far this year. I've seen a couple of really good movies this year. This is easily the best. And I saw The Lobster, which is coming out later, which I also really love.
Oh, I cannot wait to see that. Yeah. But
I think this one is better. The reason why I compared this to Batman v Superman in my original tweets was because even though it came out the week before, guess who distributed Midnight Special?
Warner Brothers?
Absolutely.
Wow.
They dumped it the weekend before Batman v Superman. Wow. A movie with an $18 million budget, which is Midnight Special's budget. They dumped that the weekend before their $400 million budget movie, and it's so much better. It's so good. I don't know a single person who's seen it that has had a single negative word to say about it. I can't really go into it, but it's phenomenal on every single level. Acting, directing, cinematography, the score. The special effects are better in this movie than they are in Batman v Superman. They're simply better.
Completely agree.
There's a big special effects moment, which I'm not going to talk about.
But I started crying.
It is a genuinely moving moment, and it captures the wonder that a special effect is supposed to capture. And it is just a phenomenal film. I can't recommend it enough. Jeff Nichols is 37 years old.
He's a year younger than me, motherfucker.
Fuck this guy.
He made
Take Shelter when he was like roughly my age. You know, fuck this guy. He's so good. He's unbelievably good. Shotgun Stories he did when he was like 26, 27. Like, how is, like, this dude is unreal.
Drink.
He's bro-bros with Michael Shannon. He's bro-bros with McConaughey and Joel Edgerton. He's got another movie coming out later this year. He is next level good. This movie is unreal. Best movie I've seen so far this year. You can take all ages to see it. It says PG-13.
I agree.
It is the lightest PG-13 I've ever seen. I can't remember a single bad word in it. There's like two bloody scenes.
No, there's violence. Yeah, there's two scenes of violence and that's it.
But there's
pretty
mild violence in my opinion.
But
it's blood.
Even if you consider some of like the car crashes, like some of those things are
sure.
Yeah, heavy. But to your point about the ones, I just want to just mention the scene as well, like the main scene, like the special effects scene, like the awestruck scene.
Yeah.
I was moved to tears, physically, like crying to the point that like I couldn't even explain to anybody why I was crying, and actually started laughing toward the end of
nice.
The scene because I couldn't believe how emotionally invested I was.
And the kid is so good.
In that moment in time.
And the music is so good.
Michael Shannon, every line he delivers, like
killer.
I couldn't buy into him more as this dad, as this person with this past that we don't even know about or care about,
right.
Really. Like we don't need the explanation of it.
And they did a great job, I thought. I read an interview where they more or less addressed this. All of the big movie moments that you sort of expect to see in this where, like, people confess their love for one another or whatever, he handles them all with just silence.
Well, here's the other thing, and this is something that I literally wrote down during the movie. Not once does anybody say, I love you. Not once in the whole movie.
Right. You get it. Right.
You feel it, though. Exactly.
There's a great line, Leighton. I'm not this is not, like, really a spoiler.
Go for it.
The kid says, I don't want you worrying about me. And Michael Shannon says, I like worrying about you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You remembered that line, Shira. I don't remember a single line that is good from Batman v Superman. But that line just, like, killed me. Killed me!
It reached inside my heart and told me, hey, this is still beating. This still works.
It's like Doomsday.
Drink!
I don't fucking know.
Oh, geez.
So, easy four kernels for me. Stone cold four kernels for me. It's another four kernel jam from Jeff Nichols, the goddamn king. They should call him Jeff Dollars, you know what I mean?
Yeah, like
so
Nichols.
Money.
Nichols and dimes, bitch.
Nichols and dimes. Dropping dimes.
Yeah, I mean, it's phenomenal.
Yeah, take shelter.
Like,
yeah.
Run, do not walk to see this movie. Like it
Seek
is.
Seek it out. Seek
it's
out.
It's gonna hit you hard.
It expands this weekend. There's not really anything else coming out.
Only one theater in San Francisco is showing it. I gotta go to Alamo Draft House in the Mission. So
next Friday?
I love the Mission. Go to foreign cinema.
It's not showing there. It's only showing at the Alamo Draft House.
All right, so
no,
Leighton,
foreign cinema's a restaurant.
Leighton,
but
I'm going to go to the bathroom and grab a beer, Leighton, so you set up the Gross is Right and do everything, and I'll be back in just a minute.
But drink first. Get more mosas.
So we were off last week, so I'll quickly go through what we did last week. Divergent series, Legent. That movie kind of flopped. Russell had the low at 42, and that came in at 29.
Wow.
Miracles from Heaven. Russell also had the low at 18.5, and that came in at 14.8. So Russell
did
that. Then Russell also cleaned up this past weekend. Batman versus Superman, he had the low at 170. You know, we texted each other our grosses away. Good guesses.
Nice.
And and then My Big Fat Greek Wedding 2, which I don't think any of us wanted to see or even planned to see. But
no,
again,
I had a free screening for it and didn't go.
Yeah. this movie's not making $200 million or $300 million like the first one did again. So Russell had the high, actually, at 16.5. And that came in at 17.8.
That's still pretty high. That's higher than I ever thought it would do.
Yeah, sure. You had 10. You had 10 million.
And yeah. Above.
So we've got two. So Russell is now on a 4-guest streak, and he's kind of fucked up.
What about me? Am I good?
You've pulled off a 4-guest streak. So you went from only one ahead of me to now 5 ahead of me.
So I got all of the last four. I got all of them.
Yes.
How was I not here for that reveal?
Oh,
I'm going to be partying.
Look, you're back.
You got the Divergent series, Allegiant.
Don't worry.
You got the Divergent series, Allegiant, Miracles from Heaven, Batman v Superman, and My Big Fat Greek Wedding 2.
Love lifts us up where all right. we belong.
You got two new movies this weekend.
Where the eagles fly.
I still, you know, from what I'm seeing, I still don't think Mitchell is going wide from what I can see here.
What movie?
I don't think Midnight Special is going wide.
Still. Wait, so Shiro, when we sing, by the way, I'm pretty confident that you're probably hearing me after, but on the recording, even if you're hearing me slightly after you, on the recording, we're singing at the exact same time. So if we
sing the songs, really?
Yeah, because the delay.
That's the way you harmonize.
Yeah, so that's the way it'll work. So
listen. Even I'm amazing at harmonizing. Yeah,
it's gonna come to you after me, so you're not gonna hear it at the same time. But that version of "Love Lifts Us Up Where We Belong" that we were just singing, we were singing at the exact same time, and the listener received such a treat.
Yes.
Okay. So I guess Midnight Special is expanding to 55 theaters this weekend. Actually, I apologize.
55, that's it?
So what movie are we guessing on?
Meet the Blacks is playing in 1,000
theaters.
Oh, yeah,
this movie that Shira forgot about.
Oh, yeah. Here we go.
Anton Scalia over
guys,
here.
Guys, I just...
Not only is she not Christian, but she's anti-black also.
I just spilled beer all over my fucking bathroom. Damn it.
But if they called it Meet the Whites, she would have seen it.
By the way, drink. Does anyone have alcohols left?
I do.
What's going on here?
I have a Sierra Nevada Beer Camp Tropical IPA.
So drink it. Drink it. Jesus.
I have been literally this entire time.
All right. So, Shira, why don't you lead us off with Meet the Blacks in 1,000 theaters. This is,
I mean, I don't know.
It's a parody of The Purge. It's a parody of The Purge with black people.
Meet the Blacks! You meet the Blacks! You're gonna find a meet in the Blacks!
Oh my god.
And I meet the Blacks!
I don't know, like $6 million.
Wow, okay.
That's pretty high. Can I change it to four? Thanks. $4 million. Thank you. Appreciate that.
Okay. Hold on 1 second. I will go next. I'll say that this will do 2.5 million. Russell?
And I'm going to go with 2 million. Although it does have my boy Gary Owen. Shout out to Gary Owen. The white guy in every black movie. You can tell it's going to be a really high... This sounds like racist for me to say. But honestly, if it's a black movie that went out of its way to get Gary Owen to be the white guy, then... It's a superior product, in my opinion.
I don't think they have to go out of their way to do it, though. So
I think he commands. He's got the white guy in black movie market locked down because you know what? I've wanted to be that guy my entire life. I've wanted to be. I can play. I've said on this podcast before. I can play both. I can be the nerdy, like white guy, the white guy who kind of talks like this, right? I could be that white guy, or I could be the white guy in like the LL Cool J Adidas jumpsuit. Who, like, comes into the room and goes, like, what's good, players? You know, like, I can be that one, too.
Like the Seth Green character in
Can't Hardly Wait. I can have the goggles on my head. Yes, absolutely. I can be both white guys. So, like, literally any black filmmaker listening to this, if you need a stereotypical white guy for your movie...
Listen up, Coogler.
Yes. When he signs on to do Meet the Blacks 2, then he can, re-meet the blacks.
Meet him again, guys, for the first time.
Meet the Blacks 2, election year, yes.
Election year.
All right.
I don't.
So we've got another
Hillary.
Shira. We've got another Shira special coming up. God's Not Dead 2.
Perfect.
Shira, God's Not Dead 2 is playing in
2,200 theaters. Great thought. Hold on, Shira. Layton, I'm cutting you off. Wouldn't it have been great if it was called God's Not Too Dead?
Okay, so the plot of God's Not Dead 2.
Yes, can you read us that please before I guess? Thank you.
Alright. So when a teacher is asked a question about Jesus in class, her reasoned response lands her in deep trouble and could expel God from the public square once and for all.
I believe that expelled to public school.
That teacher, I believe, is played by
hold on, let me guess.
Melissa Joan Hart.
No.
There's a TV movie sort of like this that's on right now, though, and she's in it. So, drink.
Okay, not Melissa Joan Hart. Let me guess. I'm going to go a little more prestige. Maybe a Judy Greer?
No. It is Melissa Joan Hart. I don't know.
Yeah. Oh, it is?
That's what I thought. Yeah, I thought that was her. I've seen the trailer.
Jesse Metcalf plays her lawyer.
Wait, who
Jesse
does?
Jesse Metcalf
could he is swim he could fan? Not come off as less yes. than a lawyer.
Oh no, wait, Jesse is, Bradford is swim fan.
No, exactly. This is John Tucker Must Die.
Same thing.
It's the same movie, except for not about a stalker. Doesn't star Jesse Bradford, isn't about
John
swimming.
Tucker must be reborn on the third day.
John Tucker must be too dead.
And God's not too dead. Yeah.
Well, too so dead.
We've got Ray Wise as the prosecuting attorney. Robin Givens as the principal. By the way, Robin Givens was in that movie, that black movie that I saw recently. I forgot the name of it already. And she has like a crazy yes can. She looks
black
great.
Movies,
she,
is that what you're saying? Huh?
The Perfect Match. Perfect Match. She's in Perfect Match. She looks great still.
Or the boss.
She's like 50. She looks awesome.
Who is she? Is she the best friend or the boss?
Oh, no. She is the wedding planner in the movie.
So basically the boss.
That was our third guess. Okay. Yeah, exactly.
Sherry Shepherd was not available.
Yeah. We got Ray Wise as the prosecuting attorney.
So yes! Ray Wise, baby.
Shira.
You just got rustled at the theater. My guess?
All right, hold on 1 second. Let me go take a look at what God's Not Dead 1 did.
Please. And
God's not dead. He's watching you.
Clap, clap.
So God's Not Dead, actually, wow. So God's Not Dead opened at $9 million, but it made $60 million domestic, which is
legs. That's bonkers.
It's got legs. Well.
Then again, it only opened in 780 theaters compared to 2,000. No.
Shit. All right. Well, then I'll just go for a nice round number of 10.5 million. 10.5.
10.5 million. Okay. I'm gonna
say why not?
The first one was good. I'll say this one will do 16 million. Russell?
16?
Yeah. Miracles from Heaven did 14.8,
you know,
and I think
I'm feeling bold, and I'm feeling beautiful. I'm gonna thread the needle. I'm gonna go 11.5.
You guys are
even. I'm peeing. Sorry, but Russell, you are bold and beautiful.
We're trying to listen to see if she is peeing. This would be the first time in years.
I am peeing. Can you hear it? Hold on.
Yep. Please don't put your microphone up to the.
Jeez. No, I didn't. I unmuted it properly.
You unmuted your peeing?
Yes.
Oh, wait. Layton's running to the fridge. So we can't.
Beers.
We can't start my game. Yeah, we haven't had a drink in a minute. This is perfect.
Oh, shit. It's time for drinking. Drink.
This is perfect for my game, by the way.
Okay, I'm back.
Okay. So that is the. Are there any more?
No. Those are the two movies.
All right, that is The Gross Is Right.
Da, 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 da.
Okay.
Ooh, Power Hour version.
All right, so here we go. Here's my game. Are you ready for this?
I am ready. Do we have a name?
Y'all ready for this?
Rock jams.
As long as Russell is not is just leads this game classy, unlike his favorite coach.
Oh Jesus Christ!
Oh,
don't even get me
snap.
Started.
Oh snap!
Don't get me started. Kidding, hey, at least my coach didn't run off to bang some player's wife like your coach did. Sick Derek Fisherburn. So
I want to bang a player's wife.
Okay, there you go. So this game is called Hey. Are you a DC character?
I just want everyone to know I just want everyone to know that Russell has been seriously like calling his shot with this game for like 30 minutes before we started recording. He started saying this shit was quote unquote next level. Yep. He needed some extra time to finish the game. Like
now that I'm looking at the game, it's even better than when I was more sober. It's so much better.
Amazing.
Layton's going to the bathroom, Shira. What should we sing?
Whatever you want. What do you want to do? Like some Broadway shit? Like what do you feel like?
You lead off because you're going to hear a delay, but I can match with you.
Why will I hear a delay? I still don't get it.
Because of the way the internet works. Because when I speak, you hear it after I speak, right? But so when you speak, I hear it after you speak. But the recording, because it's on my end, is going to be after you speak. Does that make sense? Ish?
No, you just literally put me in a new dimension. You put me in another dimension. I liked it.
When the moon is in the seventh house. All right.
And Jupiter aligns with Mars. Then peace shall guide the planets.
And love will steer stars. This is the dawning of the age of Aquarius.
Yep.
See, the recording is going to hear that bit where you paused and came back in with me. It's going to hear it after. That's the nature of being the person who's recording, man. All right. Hey, are you a DC character? So here's the deal. Last time we played this game, Last time we played this game, I named a bunch of characters, but it was all a gag because all of them were real characters. So I've changed the game this time. For each of you, I'm going to give you 7 questions.
Okay.
I'm going to name to each of you 3 characters. You have to pick the one that is not real.
Okay.
And these are DC characters.
DC characters. So I'm going to name 3 characters. You have to name the one that is not an actual character.
Okay. Not a character.
Correct. Got it. So, tell you what. I'm going to start with Layton.
Okay.
All right? I'm going to give Layton a chance. Mm-hmm. I'm going to start with Layton because I've tried to order them to some degree. All right. Layton. Yep. Here are your 3 super, they're not even necessarily superheroes, but they are characters, and it's not like just one-off, like they appeared once. These are characters who have reoccurred.
Okay.
I gave myself some limits. Here we go.
Right.
Yeah, I'm going to take a drink first.
Just drink before we start, yeah.
Here are the 3 characters. Rubber Man.
Mm-hmm.
Hammer Man.
Mm-hmm.
The Sponge Man. Which one is not a real character? Rubber Man, Hammer Man, The Sponge Man.
Rubber Man.
I'm sorry, that's incorrect. It was Hammer Man.
I should have gone with my instinct.
Rubber Man and The Sponge Man are real. So yeah, there can't be steals because then there'd only be 2 left. Right, so
right
it's
exactly, yeah.
It's going to be best of 7. All right, so Shira, we're to you now. Here we go.
Okay.
Professor Evil. Professor Menace, Professor Brainstorm.
And I have to say which one is the one that is one.
You're going to say the one that is not real. Two of them are real. One of them is not. It's 2 truths and a lie.
Okay, so Professor Menace, I know he's real. Drink.
So if you're guessing...
Professor
If you are guessing Professor Evil, Professor Menace, Professor Brainstorm.
And I'm saying the one that is, right?
You're saying the one that is not real.
Not.
I am so dumb. Okay, sorry. So I'll say it's Professor Evil.
Professor Evil is not real. Shira, you get a point. Professor Menace and Professor Brainstorm are both real. All right, Layton, we're going to go to you here, okay?
Okay.
Thunder and Lightning.
Okay.
Shock and Awe.
Okay.
Null and Void. These are pairs of characters.
Oh.
Thunder and Lightning. Shock and Awe, Null and Void. Which one
null
is
and
not
void.
Real?
Null and Void.
I'm sorry, that is not correct. Shock and Awe, not real. Thunder and Lightning is
a
real pair, and Null.
That was good.
Thank you. I came up
one,
with that
Russell.
Myself.
That
thank
was
you
a
very
good
much.
One, Russell. Now I get why this game is next level. These are fucking good.
These are great, right? All right, here we go. Shira, to you.
Yeah.
Molten Magma Man. Animal Vegetable Mineral Man. Cancer the Electrical Crab Man.
Okay, that's hard. That's hard. I will say.
Wait, what's the last one?
Cancer the Electrical Crab Man.
Oh God.
I've thrown in some. I've come up with some great names here too, guys. I'm killing this game. You don't even know.
I'll say Cancer the Electrical Crab Man.
That is a real one. I'm sorry. Molten Magma Man was made up. So Animal Vegetable Mineral
Man.
Animal Vegetable Mineral Man and Cancer the Electrical Crab Man are the ones that are real DC characters.
I can't handle what you're saying to me right now, man.
I need you guys
to drink again? Okay. All right, Leighton, where do you? You ready?
Yep.
Microwave Man.
Okay.
Gas Man.
Okay.
That's me right now. Just kidding.
Nice. The Rag Man. Microwave Man.
Gas Man.
The Rag Man. Gas Man is not real. Microwave Man and the Rag Man are real. That is correct. Very nicely done. Leighton, you're on the board with one. Shira, we are to you.
Okay.
Multi-Face. Multi-Fist. Okay. Ultra.
My face? Like mine? Like
no.
Mine?
Multi-face, like multiple faces. Multi-fist, like multiple fists.
Okay.
Ultra the multi-alien.
Fuck, drink. Oh, God. Multi-fist.
Multi-fist is not real. That is correct. Nicely done, Shira.
Oh, wow. That's pro-balloon.
Back on the board with another point. Shira has two. All right, Leighton, we're to you.
Drink if I didn't say drink already. So go. Drink.
Shira, to you.
No, wait.
Leighton to you.
Yeah.
Okay. Slide Master. The Lightning Master. Master Jailer. Slide Master, the Lightning Master, or Master Jailer? Which one is not real?
I am going to go with the one that sounds most reasonable. Lightning Master.
I'm sorry, that's incorrect. Slide Master was the one I made up. See, I tried to make some that were out in
left
field.
Very
and I tried
close.
To make some that was dude, I'm trying. I'm doing my best here. All right.
Drink.
You tried your best.
Drink.
I'm gonna change my own theory. I have to change all my theories because, like, I was like, "Well, you know, Lightning Master sounds the most reasonable out of all this.
Yep.
So it must not be though."
Nope. I'm
keeping
you on your toes.
Can you drink me higher?
Can you drink the beer tonight?
Can you drink the beer?
All right, here we go. Back to you, Shira. All right.
Hell yes.
Here we go. Mr. Briefcase.
Oh, that's me every day of my life.
Mr. Banjo. Mr. Originality. Mr. Briefcase. Mr. Banjo.
Okay.
Mr. Originality. Oh no, Shira.
Mr. Briefcase, drink.
So your guess is Mr. Briefcase?
Yes.
That is correct. Shira, you have correctly identified
goodness.
Once again.
Oh my God. You guys don't even know how many like how I'm throwing darts at a board right now.
So Shira's got three, Layton's got one. Layton, back to you. The green glob. The stylist. The black wig of doom.
Whoa.
Ooh.
Whoa.
The green glob.
The green glob, I'm sorry.
The stylist. And the black wig of doom.
The green glob.
I'm sorry, the green glob is real. The correct answer was the black wig of doom. Oh, not real.
The black wig. I love that you made up a character named the black wig of doom. I want to write this movie with you.
Yep.
So bad.
It's a good sounding movie, right? Okay.
Drink.
Shira, to you.
I'm ready. I'm so ready. I was born ready.
I love all three of these. I'm proud of all three of these, and I only wrote one of them. Okay?
Okay.
Bag o' bones. I'll let you finish.
Sorry, I was really excited about it.
That's a good one. The expanding finger.
Yeah, Shira knows all about that, right?
Oh, sure Jesus do. Christ. I wish every guy had one.
And arm fall off boy.
Oh man,
bag
you're trying to throw me off.
Boins.
You're
bag
trying.
Of bones.
Bag of bones.
Bag of bones. Bag of bones. Bag of bones. Bag of bones. Bones. Bag of bones. Bag of bones. Bag of bones. The
get
expanding
the bag
finger.
Of bones.
Arm fall off boy. Which did I make up?
Fuck, man. I feel like bag of bones is too. Oh, drink. I feel like bag of bones is too like real. Wait, hand fall off boy? Wait, what is it?
Arm fall off boy. Bag o' bones, the expanding finger, arm fall off boy.
Shit. I'll say it's the expanding finger.
Shira killing it today. The expanding finger
Shut
is,
up.
In fact, the Shut. One I made up. Bag o' bones and arm fall off boy are real. Okay.
Arm fall off boy.
Arm fall off boy is real.
I'm Googling arm fall off boy.
I can't wait.
Like,
well,
I
wait until
even...
after your question. So there are two more. So tell you what, Layton, I'm going to give you two in a row.
Okay.
And then if you can get both of these right, then I'll give you the third. Otherwise, I'll just give Shira the other two to see if she can see how high she can get. Okay.
Okay.
Here are your
I can get real high, Panama
yeah,
Red.
Baby.
Drink.
Here we go, Layton.
Don't forget to bring a towel.
That's the melody to Funky Town. Sky Pirate. Sky Pirate. That's a pirate of the sky.
Sky Pirate in flight.
Boo! Afternoon delight. Sky Pirate. Okay. The next one is Captain Knifebeard.
Okay.
Sky Pirate, Captain Knifebeard, and Vox the Bionic Bandit. Sky Pirate, Captain Knifebeard, Vox the Bionic Bandit.
I'm just gonna go with my gut and say the Captain Knifebeard.
That one is the one I made up. Very good.
Oh, nice work.
Okay, here we go, Layton. Here's the next one. Right. Okay.
Drink.
In chronological order. Aaron Burr.
Okay.
Babe Ruth.
Okay.
Jerry Lewis. Which of these is not a DC comic character with lengthy runs in the DC comic universe? Aaron Burr, Babe Ruth, or Jerry Lewis.
Jeez.
I'm gonna go with Aaron Burr.
I'm sorry, that is not correct. What? Babe Ruth. Aaron Burr, apparently, according to what I read, he did not die, or he did not after he killed Alexander Hamilton. I think he went and he lived in space for a while.
Okay, that happens.
As people are wont to do after an assassination. After a duel.
And there was some storyline involving Aaron Burr and his return to Earth. there you go. So, Shira, you will have won, but Shira, I'm going to give you the last two and see just how high you can close out this joint. Right?
I'm going to take it higher.
All right, here we go, Shira. You ready?
I'm ready.
Earthquake and the shockwaves of death. Earthquake and the shockwaves of death. Captain Carrot and his amazing zoo crew. Captain Carrot and his amazing zoo crew. The Dingbats of Danger Street.
Jeez.
So you've got Earthquake and the Shockwaves of Death. Captain Carrot and his amazing zoo crew. The Dingbats of Danger Street.
Oh, man. I'll go with... I will go with, wait, what's the first one? I'll go with the first one.
Earthquake and the shockwaves of death?
Yeah, the shockwaves of death.
Shira, you are correct once again. That is another one.
That's not possible. That's not possible.
You're crushing it right now. You've got five. So let's see if you can close on a win. Let's see if you can close on a win. Okay.
Holy cannoli, yep. As they say. Okay.
Okay.
This is weird. This is weird.
Sergeant Gorilla. A gorilla that's apparently an army sergeant.
Well, yeah, I mean, congratulations, like, on the promotion and everything.
Yeah. Yang, the super ape. A Chinese ape, a Chinese ape with superpowers. And Chim Chim, the amazing chimp. A chimpanzee.
The last one seems a little on the nose.
Oh, Chim Chim, that sounds legitimate also to me. I don't know.
I think that Chim Chim is the fake one.
Once again, Shira, you have seen through my ruse.
You have got to be fucking joking, because that cannot be right.
You got 6 of 7, and frankly, I gave you ones in which the most, like, easy and most possible one was the fake one, and I gave you ones in which the craziest one was the real one, and some in the middle, and yet got 6 out of 7 right.
Here's the thing. Like, these are things that cannot be – you can't cheat. For those listeners who think I was cheating.
That's true.
I am in shock and awe. which was a fake one.
Are you in null and void?
I am null and void about this. This is crazy to me that I've gotten this many right. That's incredible. I should go play the lottery.
Are you old enough to have seen the That's Incredible show, Shira?
How? What year did that come out? Late.
That's Incredible? Oh, it's got to be early 90s.
Oh, well, then of course. Am I old enough? Are you kidding? I'm old enough to see, like, the Dick Van Dyke Show. I'm old enough to see that shit.
Do you still laugh whenever you see an Ottoman? Did you actually watch the Dick Van Dyke Show? There's no way you watched
I'm exaggerating. I mean, 1977, I mean, like, I'm older than Jeff Nichols. That doesn't make me feel like a fucking failure in life. I don't know. It's fine.
Hey, Jeff Nichols doesn't work for LinkedIn, all right, Shira? So hold your head.
Listen, but he's probably on there, okay?
So am I. That doesn't mean anything.
It means a lot of things. It means a lot of things.
It means that I get 20 emails a day.
People always say that to me. I will show you how to adjust your email.
No, I've turned it off. So now, yeah,
I get one email a week from LinkedIn.
I get 0 emails a week. I've set my filters beautifully. It has worked wonderfully. But the only reason I would ever log into LinkedIn is because of this wonderful person on the other side of the podcast, Shira Selkovitz.
Thank you very much. Feeling good about it.
If I thought it could help you in your career at all for me to log in, I would do so. I don't think
that's
it
really
could.
Nice.
In which case, I probably don't log in, but...
That's really, really nice.
But I would, Shira. Just like I would promote whatever it is you're plugging, which we'll do in a second after I say that has been, hey, are you a DC character? Now we're going to get to plugs. Shira, tell us how we can support you in this journey we call life.
Oh, wow. Contribute to my new GoFundMe to get a new therapist. No, I'm just kidding.
Life.
I just want to say that I hope that you follow me on Instagram. I am snapping up a storm, folks. I'm like doing mad. I'm like a snapping turtle right now. I have so many snaps. I do like totally crazy snap stories. I'll take you through my day. I want you to be a part of my world. So please follow me on Snapchat. Look at this stuff. Isn't it neat? Yeah, exactly.
Wouldn't you think my collection's complete?
Wouldn't you think I'm the girl? The girl who snaps.
Everything.
So please follow me there. Follow me on Twitter. I'm at Chirisalco everywhere you turn. Everywhere you turn around.
I've got Twitters and Instas aplenty.
I've got Snapchats and Letterboxds galore.
You want MySpaces? I've got 20.
I've got 20, but who cares?
No big deal. I want more.
Foursquare.
Square. Nice.
Anyway, follow me all over the place. Follow Al Jazeera as well. Follow us on Facebook, on YouTube, on Twitter. We have four sketches that we've written that are ready to shoot.
I want to be where Al Jazeera is.
You
certainly
do.
I want to follow on Facebook. Follow on YouTube.
Yes.
Watch all their videos on, what's it called? Funny or Die.
Don't forget the Pillow Gills.
Yes. Down where we shoot, over where we write. Yeah, please follow us everywhere. Thank you.
They
Thank
make you. Comedy all day and all night. I probably should have drank by now.
Yeah, oh, please, are you kidding? I missed like five just then. It's fine. Just keep drinking. Finish it.
I'm out, man. Part of you, girl.
I like my six pack. This episode is like super long.
You finished your six pack.
By the way, ladies, if you don't know, Leighton's got a six pack.
Yeah, that's good to know. By the way,
San Francisco.
It's for the later ladies.
The laters.
Sam Clams Disco.
Where can the laters, aka the Screaming Legion, find you?
Oh man, it's twitter.com/LateGordon, LateGordon. Hey, Letterboxd. Late Gordon, LateGordon. That's all caught up. Just gotta add Batman vs. Superman. I'm also having a rank list of my movies per year. Batman vs. Superman is not going to Batman v Superman is not gonna be too high on that list, I would assume. Situation Pod of Me podcast. I gotta get back into watching some sitcoms, but it's been real hectic out here.
Do you
here.
Watch The Grinder, Leighton?
I have not, man, because like,
dude, it's literally my favorite sitcom on television.
It's been a rough week. I mean, like, it was my birthday last week, and I was
just been on for 4 months.
I've not been home this entire week, and I've been
the last 4 months. You haven't been
happy
home.
Happy birthday, Leighton, officially on the show.
Happy birthday to you.
I joined Shira in the relatively deep 30s, in the early 30s. And Russell, you're almost there, so you'll be joining me soon.
I'm in my 30s.
Oh, shoot. Okay.
Thank you. I mean, I'm like literally on my way out, but it's fine. Thank you for that. I appreciate it.
No, you know what? I hurt my back, so like then I knew I was old. So
my neck and my back.
My pussy and my crack.
There you go. There you go. No. Situation Pottery Podcast. Eventually we'll return. We'll return. Once I get back to regular TV watching.
My back.
My pussy and my crap.
I'm glad you chimed in.
There you go. All right. That's it for me.
I'll be late for that. So I am on Twitter, on Instagram, on Letterboxd. My other podcast, 2.1 Seconds to Madness. Pretty close to coming to an end. We'll have one sort of season in review episode in which we'll talk about some NBA draft scouts. Not some NBA. We won't talk about the scouts. We will scout for the NBA draft. And then once the draft has happened, we will sort of talk about our grades. But really, that'll be it until next year. So if you want to hear, if you are a fan of the New York Knickerbockers, like my friend Leighton Gordon, or if you're a bandwagon Golden State Warriors fan, like my friend Leighton Gordon should be,
I actually have a Warriors scarf here. I'll take a picture of it with me wearing it and hop on that bandwagon. Yeah.
There you go. I've got an LA Lakers Sasha Vujacic jersey that I got at a thrift store for $5.
That's classic. That's classic. Yep,
Sasha. Susie Screw had a partner named Sasha.
Are you an Orlando or Miami guy, Russell?
Orlando, I love you, Orlando. No, I'm not anything. I just, whatever team has Duke players, I'm a fan of. So I want Kyrie to win a ring. I want any team that's got, you know, the Clippers have Austin Rivers and J.J. Redick. That's a twofer. I would love for them to go far.
Chronicles of Redick.
I actually had a great poster in college, the Chronicles of Redick, and it was J.J. Redick standing on what looked like an alien planet, and it said the Chronicles of Redick. Absolutely. It was a real poster. Duke was putting them out. I still have it somewhere. I guarantee you it's in my home. It's in my, like, room at my parents' house in Jacksonville, Florida, a Chronicles of Redick poster. 100%. I'm a huge J.J. fan.
He's had a great career.
He's dynamite, you might say.
He might.
Yeah, so 2.1 seconds to madness. You can also follow them on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Tumblr, and twitter.com/seconds2madness. I am Russell H. Film on Twitter. You can find me of a girl that I once knew. You can find this podcast on Twitter, twitter.com/LNLMovieshow. You can find us in the club, Bottle Full of Bud. I'm in the sex, I'm in the middle of.
I went
bankrupt. I'm telling the judge.
Vitamin water didn't work out.
Wait, his flavor of vitamin water was actually legit super good. It was like the
called Triple X, and it was the only fucking good flavor, dude.
No. His wasn't Triple X.
Yes, it fucking was.
No,
his was Formula 50.
His was Formula 50. That's exactly what it was.
No, wait a second. Wait, Triple X, whose was that?
That was like the Sex and the City promotion one, I thought.
Bullshit.
I thought it was.
I'm looking it up.
You can look it up. You can find it online.
You can look it up.
You can find it on the web. This podcast is twitter.com/LNLMovieshow, iTunes, Stitcher Radio, longlaymovieshow.tumblr.com. Still crawling our way towards 80,000 followers. We would love to continue to have you follow us on the old Twitter sphere. Please check us out there. Shira Layton, what a power hour and a half it's been here. We have not maintained it over the last like 15 minutes.
Listen, it's fine. Everything I'm falls out of beer, off.
Man.
Everything Listen. Falls.
Next time we do this, like, we got to do a 12 pack.
Sometimes
I'm all alone at a crossroads. I'm all alone in my own home. Name that movie. Dreamgirls.
Crickets.
Dreamgirls. You don't know the Beyonce song? Are you not a member of the Beehive?
Wait, are you talking about the song
that Beyonce sings?
That Jennifer Hudson sang she's like sang it on American Idol. It was from Dreamgirls. She sang it on American Idol though.
And I am telling you.
Oh, and I'm telling you I'm not going. That's right. You're right. That's a hard-ass song.
Even though the rough times are showing.
I mean, that's... Yeah, get there.
Getting into it. Feeling it. Putting some stank on it.
Putting some stank on it.
Shira Layton.
Put some stank on it.
Pour some stank on me. In the name of stank.
Let's never end this episode. People won't know what to do with themselves. We should do a telethon. We should raise money. We should do it for 24 hours.
We are never, ever gonna end this podcast.
Yeah, I keep thinking that, you know, we need to do like like one of those red carpet episodes where we're just like talking over the red carpet. We riff track the red carpet.
First of all, I agree. I fully agree. Yes. Second of all, you can now do group video for free on Skype, and I feel like we should start doing these face to face.
You know what I've heard?
I can definitely do that.
Actually, let me shout another thing out. I was on the Know the Score podcast recently.
Oh, yeah, you were.
Don DeLorente on Twitter.
That's cool. I want to listen.
We talked about college basketball and NBA and other sports because it is a sports podcast. But they do theirs.
Talked about the Jaguars?
Jesus Christ. Come on.
No,
give me a break.
He said it was a sports podcast.
Oh, hey. Watch yourself. Shake your ass.
Watch
Show me what you're working
out.
With.
Missed the count.
Yeah. I came in with my mic in my hand. Doesn't he say dick in my hand at the beginning of the actual song? I don't care.
Oh,
is it
don't let me leave you with my dick in my hand? Ooh.
What's so annoying?
Let me leave you with my foot in your ass. Be
nothing's
cool.
More annoying than about a boy when he's like, shake it. Watch yourself. I hate that fucking movie.
You hate the movie because of one censored version of...
No, I actually really like the movie. I just hate that part.
Fair enough. What was I saying?
Something about the Jerry Lewis
telethon. Right, and Google Hangouts is how they do it. They record via Google Hangouts. And then if you record via Google Hangouts, there's a way in which if people want to listen in live, they could.
What? What? Whoa. What?
So
theoretically.
Are available at 6 p.m.
Pacific? We should legit do this. My entire company would listen if it was live. I swear to God.
It's 6 o'clock on the dot. I'm on my podcast cruising the streets.
can
I
we
got
get some
a
Mets
real pretty shoe of silk of it that's waiting for me.
By the way,
I
was at the bar last night, and on Saturday night, and they had Next playing, and I was at the bar with young people, and they were like, I don't know this song.
Step back in dancing kind of close.
And I was like,
feeling a little poke coming through.
This is like my middle school jam.
No, stop it. I have the quintessential Next story. Are you fucking ready for this shit?
Is it about the Nicolas Cage movie Next?
No, fuck that. I was fucking first in line because I was trying to get my ex-boyfriend back, okay? I was trying to get him back. I bought fucking front row boys to men fucking tickets, okay? Front row boys to men, and I was like 97, and guess who opened? Destiny's Child, when there were fucking four of them, and Next. So Next came out first. They played close as their opener and their closer. Okay, they played it twice, and then Destiny's Child came out, and then fucking Boys to Men came out.
When did Next play But a Love?
Dude, they played But a Love like second. It was close. Then But a Love. Then one
some
other
Bills,
song.
Bills, Bills. Was it some Bills, Bills, Bills?
No, then this close. Was this, no. When it's really yeah.
No, okay. Dude, this is Bills, Bills, Bills. This is before any. This was their first shit. This is four of them.
Now wait a minute. Destiny's Child, their first single was No, 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 Part 2 with Wyclef
Jean. Oh, okay, fine. That may have been their first single, but were there four of them when that came out?
Absolutely. Yes. Well, I really want you. I can see it in your eye. But you keep on from. Why don't you say what's on your mind?
That beat was monster.
No, yeah. I loud and
close your eyes, shorty. Guaranteed to be hypnotized. By the remakes the Wyclef provides.
I've seen Next in concert. And the Wyclef part, actually, I do remember now. The Wyclef part, they like played a tape of it.
I don't care about your size. Oh. Girl, shake your thighs. All I'm trying to do in the hood is stay alive.
But yeah, legit, like, I was in the front row, and Beyonce was like 19 at the time. And I was like, who is this bitch with these legs?
19. Oh, we can dance together. No
we
Steely Dan
can't
fans listening.
Talk,
there we go, yeah. I used to make my dad so mad because my dad was a huge Steely Dan fan. And so I would do impressions.
My mom too.
I would do impressions of Steely Dan, and it would always sound more or less like this. So he'd put on like Rose Darling, right?
It would sound like Tom Petty, but like calmer.
So I would go, Rose, darling, come to me, send Mary's dreams again. And he's
that's pretty close.
He's like, that's not what Steely Dan sounds like. I was like, are you kidding me, Dad? That's exactly what Steely Dan sounds like.
No, what you've done you've mixed Bob Dylan and Steely Dan.
No, now I've seen Bob Dylan
That's Steely Dylan that you're doing.
I saw Bob Dylan. The opening act was Elvis Costello alone with an acoustic guitar.
Oh, did you play Veronica? Because that song's great.
Which song?
Veronica.
I don't know if he played Allison.
I mean, that's fine. Veronica's better. Allison's a great song. I'm just saying.
So he did. He did. He did most of the hits. He did them by himself. And then Bob Dylan comes out with a wide brimmed purple hat and a
purple suit
with a guitar with a purple glittery strap. And he changes the melody to all of his songs when he sings them live. So you don't know what you're listening to about 3 minutes in. So he's like, there must be some way.
You're like, whose song is this?
Yeah. And you're like, wow, this is really great. And the band sounds great. What is this? And 3 minutes in, you're like, oh, it's All Along the Watchtower.
Oh, it's Positively 4th Street. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Mama, take this badge off of me. I just can't find it anymore. Well, and also, that's like old Bob Dylan. New Bob Dylan's like, never take it back off of me. You can't even do a good impression of him without, like, dying.
New Bob Dylan's like, come on, drive a little, nothing is forever.
Okay, first of all, what's really great about that is twofold. One, obviously, you intentionally referenced Jacob Dylan in regards to Bob Dylan, which is great.
Of course.
Second of all, right when you did that, your audio went super, super, like, janky. So it was, like, perfect Bob Dylan effect. I urge you to go back and listen to this episode and listen to how that just sounded when you sang One Headlight by the Wallflowers with your audio going all janky. So
Listen, I'd love to say that that was on purpose. So let's just say that was on purpose.
It was. It was.
Yeah. Wow, what a great app, guys.
Look around your world, pretty baby, is it everything you hold in me? There we go.
The wrong time, wrong situation. Sean.
Right time. Roll on me. For sheer and late and for myself, this is Russell Hainline. Good night, and well done, Bang Johnny.
Good night, everyone.
Good night, everyone.